Welcome to the So Why podcast with Steph Care Solutions. This podcast aims to explore issues and challenges, as well as ideas and solutions leading to strengthening support for mental wellness and recovery. My name is Alexa Bull, Director of Co-Design and Knowledge Exchange at Step Care Solutions, and I'll be your host for this episode. Student mental health in a post-secondary context is an important topic. It can be a challenging time for people with a variety of stressors affecting them in different ways across different student populations. Over time, Algonquin College has expanded and evolved its thinking about supporting the well-being of its students. Increasingly holistic in their approach, the priority is on students having access to a range of supports to be able to take care of their own well-being and get help when they need it. Today, we are joined by Jeff Agate, the Associate Director of Student Support Services at Algonquin College in Ottawa. He has been a counselor, a manager of counseling services, and now leads the Student Health and Wellness Branch for Algonquin. Jeff's 20 years of experience in post-secondary have shown him that despite tremendous strides in awareness and supports, the battle to provide mental health support for students is not yet won. Let's welcome Jeff Agate to the So Why podcast.
Hi, Jeff, and welcome to the So Why podcast. We're so happy to have you with us today.
Hi, Alexa. I'm happy to be here.
I was wondering if we could just start out talking about why do you think StepCare 2.0 can support health-promoting campuses, particularly at Algonquin College?
Well, I do think it's an interesting approach. And one of the things that I've certainly observed over the last couple of decades, I guess I would say, is that our student population is becoming increasingly large and increasingly diverse, and with a very wide range of needs and expectations from the college. So I think we're always asking ourselves, what do students need and how do they want to get it from us, particularly with respect to mental health support. So that's one of the things that I think the 2.0, StepCare's 2.0 approach does well, is it provides us with a model that covers a broad range of student needs. It really helps us make sure that we've covered all of the bases and made sure that we have provided mental health resources and supports across a very kind of broad range of approaches.
And have you learned anything through your implementation of StepCare 2.0 that has helped you understand student needs a little better and helped you kind of connect those pieces to provide well-rounded supports across campus?
Yeah, I certainly learned quite a bit. One thing I've learned is the benefits of using a co-designed approach, co-designed from the perspective of making sure that we include the student voice in the design of the model. Making sure that we clearly understand, as I said, what students want and how they want to get it, what they expect from us. I've worked in post-secondary and student support services in particular for over 20 years. And so my approach and my expectations are biased by all of the things I've done over those years and all of the ways from 20 years ago that I was able to help students and the needs of students that I saw at that time. And so co-designing really helps us keep things current and helps us keep things diverse and making sure that we are covering all of those needs. The other co-designing group is making sure that we're working with frontline service providers. That's one of the things that I've learned through some of the work I've done over the last year or so is they have uncovered a lot of different resources, approaches, ways of doing things, understanding about our student needs. They really are subject matter experts in student mental health support. And so working with those two groups in particular and co-designing resources using their experience, their expectations, their direction, I think has been a really valuable learning experience for me.
Thanks for sharing that. I really found it interesting when you were highlighting the fact that, you know what, I've been in the field for a while, so I'm carrying a lot of sort of different ideas in with me. And I loved how you highlighted that that's really important to be aware of, because, you know, when you include other voices, it helps us understand what else is out there beyond what we've done and what we've learned. Because sometimes as we get really experienced in a thing, we can kind of also get stuck in a rut or stuck in a particular pattern and keep thinking that that's the pattern we should go through.
Yeah, I have a funny anecdote about that. So we spent a good part of the last year really looking at how we can deliver, you know, a broad range of mental health supports to students. And one of the things that we settled on was we wanted to build a website that had all kinds of different mental health supports and really that utilized the step care model with the 9 different steps and making sure we had stuff in each of those categories so that we really could cover all of the student needs and wishes, including making sure that we had resources that specifically for certain vulnerable populations or Indigenous students or international students. And we built this really comprehensive website. And one of the questions that we asked was, you know, can we get people to use it? Can we get them to break away from the notion that mental health is really the responsibility of counseling services? And if there's a student experiencing some level of mental health distress, that they should go and see a counselor. And that was a question we had. But we built this great website. I was very proud of it, and I thought it looked really terrific and would be very useful. Then I encountered a student in distress. And what did I do? I walked them over to counseling services and worked with the reception desk to try and squeeze them in and get them an appointment when there really weren't any appointments available, and got them in. And I walked away, and one of my colleagues said, "And did you also point them to the website that you just built?" And it dawned on me, I hadn't. So when I was in the heat of the moment, that's when you fall back on those biases. You fall back on the things that you know what to do. You've always used them. They've always worked for you. And it's hard to break away from those. So I know I have some work to do in that respect. And no, I'm not alone in the college community. And we need to make some adjustments if we're going to fully meet the mental health needs of our students. Some adjustments in understanding how we can support them, what resources they might be looking for, and the like. So yeah, it takes a while to teach old dogs new tricks. And I recognize that.
That's so interesting. It's hard to change. It's hard for all of us. Yeah. I mean, even the small steps, especially as you said, when you're in sort of the heat of the moment, you're in a crisis situation, you just revert back to everything that you've always done, because that feels comfortable. It feels good. So that's a really great example, I think, of why it's so important for us to tackle change management piece at a time and tackle how we're changing and being mindful that it does take a little bit of time to adjust our approaches and expand our thinking about things and change old habits.
Yeah, it's not just about comfort. It's also about trust. I trust that if I can get this student in an appointment with one of our great counselors who are fantastic and so knowledgeable and so experienced, I know that they'll be in good hands. I know that they'll be on the pathway towards addressing whatever issues are leading to their distress. And it takes time to build trust in all of the other resources that are available. That's the other thing that I learned through the process that we've been engaged in over the last year or so, is how many resources there are out there. I think that there was a real big push in developing resources in the early 2010s. A number of schools completed the National College Health Assessment, NACHA, survey and discovered that a lot of their students were reporting high degrees of mental health distress. That was reported in a Maclean's magazine article in 2012, I think. And that really, I know in my community, kind of fired up, hey, we got to do something about this. We need to make it a higher priority. I remember at the time, our college president said, everyone who wears a name tag at our college, all employees wear a name tag so that they can identify themselves as an employee. And everyone who wears a name tag needs to know the basics of how to support student mental health. And that was, I think, the first surge. The second surge seems to have come through COVID. When I was reviewing resources for our website, one of the things I noticed, you know, oftentimes I was clicking on the little about link at the very bottom of the page or in the top banner try and get a sense of what is this organization and what's their mandate, and it doesn't match what our students are telling us they're looking for. And many of them disclosed that they were initiated to meet the demand that was identified during COVID lockdowns, particularly youth mental health, and perhaps were funded by an initiative designed to help meet that need. And so there's, I think, a second surge of resources has come available over the last 2-3 years. Many of them are kind of more remote access, telecounseling, chat. You know, a lot of them have developed chat. A lot of them are designed to meet the needs of a specific population at risk. So that's the second thing I learned, is there's a lot more out there than I realized.
It's interesting what kinds of situations bring about innovation. And I think lately we've had a lot of innovation in mental health and mental health services, which is really exciting. But then, as you said, it creates different situations where you're having to adapt to having lots of different services available. So how do we communicate those, and how do we share those and make sense of those so that people can make the right choices for themselves at the right time? You know, you referred to the tendency to refer to counseling being sort of the traditional modality of getting people support. If you're struggling with mental health, go and talk to a professional. And I know at Algonquin College, originally the StepCare 2.0 implementation began in the counseling center. Can you tell me a little bit about the decision to expand the initiative beyond the counseling center and take a broader approach?
Yeah, that's a big question. I think you pointed out that counseling had been making some changes to its model over the past decade before we even started to look at taking StepCare solution outside of or beyond counseling. And I think that decision to make it more than just a counseling services approach to mental health really could be traced back to the Canadian Standards Association Mental Health and Wellness, Mental Health and Well-being for Postsecondary Students, the audit that we completed against that standard. Many schools completed an audit against the standard in the 2021-2022 timeframe. A lot of them were funded by the Bell Let's Talk a post-secondary kickoff grant, and we were as well. So we were very grateful for that. And we took some time to review how we approached as an institution student mental health against the standards. And we identified a number of gaps. And one of those gaps was that it wasn't seen as an institutional priority. This may sound like a bit of a facetious example, but one of the things I say is that the college expects to have clean and functional washrooms. But the president doesn't say that that's the number one priority of everybody at the institution. He expects that the maintenance team, our facilities management team, will take care of that and make sure that that we have well-functioning, clean, accessible facilities for everybody to use. And I think student mental health is kind of seen the same way in the past, or is even still to a certain extent. It's seen as something important, but something that the counseling services team should really take care of. That's their responsibility. So I would call that a service level responsibility of the institution. And one of the things that the audit pointed out was that we should expand that level of priority outside of just a single service and make it ultimately an institutional priority. Now we haven't gotten there yet. That was in 2021-22, but we have taken some solid steps towards that. One is we created an institutional mental health steering committee to look at the results of the mental health audit and determine where we want to get started. What are the first things we want to tackle? And that committee identified three things. One is create an institutional mental health and wellness framework. Two is create an institutional suicide prevention and postvention strategy. And the third one is create a one-stop website for mental health and mental health and wellness for students. And that's really what I've been focused on for the last year. I've been involved in the first two, but it's the third one that I've been leading. And we worked with StepCare Solutions. We started early in 2023 by spending a couple of months doing what they call the populating the model exercise, where they meet with our frontline employees and they meet with our students and they ask them about what they see as the need for mental health in our college community and what we already have, what supports and resources we're already offering to help us identify some gaps and to reinforce some of the things that we're doing well. And they came back with, they came back with quite a few recommendations, but I would summarize them as kind of four categories. One is we need to broaden the resources. We need to build more of a continuum of care, right from just having information on a website to having providing access to crisis support for students and everything in between. We needed to focus on a greater access to those wide range of services. So make it easier for students to get access to quality resources 24/7. We needed to continue to work with students to help us co-design those resources and that model. And we needed to do a better job at communication and helping students navigate through all of the options. And so that led us to build a mental health resource. We consulted with our employees, our frontline employees and students, and we asked them to recommend resources. They were able to identify over 80 mental health support resources that would be useful for our students. Many are some of the common ones, like counseling services, our health services, you know, things like that, that are kind of those the ongoing or traditional staples of providing mental health support. We added many, many more that we hadn't included in the past. We then worked with our web team, and they were able to take 80 resources and put it into a website that wasn't overwhelming, that helped students navigate and find the resources that met their needs at that moment. And then we also engaged with our communication team to promote it and to tell everybody that this website is out there. And I would describe that not as an institution, the execution of a mental health resource as an institutional priority, but I would say it's moved from a service level priority to a departmental priority, to all of student support services. And that's a step forward. I think that's an improvement, and that takes some of the pressure off of our counseling services to be the one and only source of support and resources for student mental health, and shares the burden across an entire department.
I think it's really interesting, and I think that this is really common, that oftentimes people see the counseling department or one particular department holding that responsibility for mental health. And I think it had been normalized at one point. And I find it interesting that sort of that review based along the post-secondary standard caused a bit of reflection to say, well, maybe it needs to be a priority for the institution so that everybody can carry some responsibility for mental health and well-being across the campus. And I think it also recognizes the fact that, hey, students and staff interact with lots of different people across the campus, not just the counseling center. The counseling center usually is when students already recognize that they may have an issue or that they need support. But what you've mentioned working on is really taking that proactive approach to say, hey, we want to make sure all students are well. And as soon as they're feeling any type of needing support or needing to talk to someone or just not sure about how they're feeling, we want to make sure that they've got lots of resources across the board that they can access. And I love the development of the website and involving the communications team, because it is hard to take 80 resources and break them down and help students make sense of them and navigate them. And it does take a full team of people who carry different expertise and perspectives to be able to make that happen. So I think that's really exciting.
And keep up with all those resources. We launched the website in September, and we've already edited it. We've already added more resources, and we've removed some. That there was one resource that had kind of changed its mandate, and now it didn't really kind of fit with a post-secondary population. It's still a valid resource for the population that it is targeting, but not really for us. So that one got removed. There was another one that we were paying to a site license for our students to have access to, and we didn't renew that license. So now that one gets removed as well. But We removed two. We've added, I don't know, like eight. So keeping up with the resources is also a big job.
I agree. That's a big investment. And the whole continuous improvement piece is always an ongoing initiative. So it's not just a one-time, okay, we're going to reflect on what we need and what's up there and what's available, but that ongoing review of what are these services now? Are they still applicable? Are they still available? Are there other ones that have become available that would be really helpful for our students? And then also looking at the current context and current needs on campus. So it's definitely not a one-time solution.
No, absolutely. And I don't want to give the impression that, okay, they built a website. Wow, that's really fantastic. Everybody has a website. That was really kind of one of the first things that we decided to do. And there's other things that I want to do and other things that we started working towards. I want to have for our campus a more full student mental health and wellness engagement strategy. I think back to around 2014, 2015, Kathleen Wynne was the Premier of Ontario at the time, and she made sexual violence prevention a priority in the province and said, certainly any provincially funded organization like colleges and universities, I want you to take concrete steps towards addressing sexual violence on your campuses. And so all campuses had to draft a policy with procedures for addressing sexual violence. But we were also asked to build spaces and create campaigns and run events and bring that whole initiative to life. And that's what I'd like to do with mental health. It's not just a website. It's not just a team of professionals sitting in an office that you can come and book an appointment to meet with. I want us to have events. I want us to have campaigns. I want us to have easy to access spaces where students can come and meet with peers and get support, get information, hang out in a way that is very kind of pro mental health and pro wellness. And as a center of wellness in the institution where others can learn about ways to, you know, to function and operate as a post-secondary institution in ways that are pro mental health and pro wellness. So those are the kinds of things that we're working on above and beyond the website. And one of the things that I'm really interested in, we have a great partnership with the local mental health hospital in Ottawa, the Royal Hospital. And we were consulting with some of the folks at the Royal Hospital who obviously are very, very high quality subject matter experts in mental health, and to ask them about what they were seeing as main issues for mental health in post-secondary institutions, because they do work not just with us, they do it with the other post-secondary institutions, Carleton, University of Ottawa in Ottawa. And one of the things they observed was that a lot of institutions tend to focus on the low level, not very sensitive, just kind of good wellness practices when it comes to mental health. You know, one example I oftentimes use is like sleep hygiene. Like sleep hygiene is not very controversial. It's definitely good, a good cornerstone of wellness to have good sleep, good to get enough sleep and to have good practices, habits, you know, what they call sleep hygiene for preparing for sleep. It's good to have a good sleep basis as part of your health and wellness, but it's not very controversial. But they told us topics like suicide, the schools were steering away from eating disorders. The more sensitive mental health topics, schools didn't want to talk about those. So that's one of the things that we're really committing to as well is to include what we call a bottom-up and top-down approach. So bottom-up are the good practices, wellness practices that everybody should know, that every student, we would hope that every student, as they go through their programs at Algonquin College, they learn these practices and they can take them with them when they graduate and go out into their lives, but also to learn about some of the more difficult, more sensitive topics like suicide prevention, eating disorders, you know, significant anxiety and mood disorders, symptoms of those, and how to support others in your life who are experiencing those. Those are the kinds of lessons and information I would like students to also get. And so we're making a commitment to not shy away from those tough subjects and to include those in our mental health programming as well.
I love that. I think it really builds out a really well-rounded approach to supporting students where they're at and recognizing that they're facing a diversity of situations along a full spectrum. So some people are really going to benefit from that sleep hygiene and some of those lower level, less controversial topics. And then there's other people who are really going to need to talk about and to learn about some of those more complex topics and things that might be seen as a bit more controversial or uncomfortable topics to talk about. So I think that's amazing. And it sounds like you have quite the journey ahead with your implementation of Health Promoting Campus across Algonquin College. Is there any other sort of goals or objectives or ideas that you hope to work toward that you'd like to share?
Yeah. One of the concepts that we use here at Algonquin College and in our area is the concept of true north goals. So a true north goal is sometimes seen as unattainable or almost unattainable, but it's a goal that essentially you're saying we're not going to stop improving as long as we have some room to go to meet this goal. And so one of the goals I would have would be to make student mental health an institutional priority at Algonquin College, which would mean, you know, you would see it baked into our pedagogy, our assessments, scheduling, planning, everything that we do at the college would consider student mental health and wellness and how it can contribute to a student mental health. I think there's a couple of reasons why we particularly focus on mental health of college and university students. I think it has to do with the age. That, you know, for some mental health disorders, the age of first onset is late teens, early 20s, the age at which, you know, a lot of students are going to post-secondary. It has to do with the transitions into adulthood, leaving home, leaving your country for, you know, we have a large number of international students leaving your country, coming to a new culture, a new society, a new place completely. So those transitions, I think, are also very stressful. And then education, particularly post-secondary education, itself is very stressful. We're continually challenging students to learn new things, to prove what they've learned, to learn in a number. You know, you have, you know, five different professors. Each one wants you to learn something different. Each one is teaching you a different way. Each one is going to assess your learning a different way. It's very, very stressful. So I think that level of learning, it comes with automatic stresses at a time in people's lives where there's also some background stressors. So I think it's important that we approach all of that from a good, sound mental health and wellness perspective. And that could be seen as concrete as including it in our institutional strategic plan. When we talk about our strategic goals and our priorities, that being mindful and approaching everything from the perspective of a student mental health and wellness, that would be a great true north goal. We wouldn't have to start, keep trying to improve if we could get to that level. But as I said, true north goals are oftentimes so aspirational that you're never done trying. There's always room for improvement. So that's really kind of where I'm looking. And I think student mental health has kind of come around as a priority a couple of times, but it's each time it's come around, it's never kind of made it to that strategic institutional priority level. And I see it coming around again. And I think we have an opportunity here at Algonquin College and perhaps other post-secondary institutions to get it there. And that's the goal. And I think we have our ducks in a row because we've been able to do a pretty good job of moving it from service level priority, counseling services, they take care of all that, you know, get a student to meet with a counselor, to building out a broader, more impactful initiatives that are a departmental level initiative and making it a departmental level priority. I think we've done that well enough that it makes the jump at this time to making institutional priority less of a leap.
That's so exciting. Thank you so much for sharing about your journey with us today and about Algonquin College's outlook on mental health and well-being and where you hope to go and where you've been already. We really appreciate you sharing that today, and we have a lot to learn. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Alexa, it was my pleasure.
Thank you once again for joining us on the So Why podcast with Step Care Solutions. For more information on the Step Care 2.0 model, the Wellness Together Canada portal, as well as links to resources mentioned in this episode, please check out the show notes below. Thanks for tuning in once again. We look forward to having you back next time.